Hey everyone,
All
welcome back to another episode of Marketing Corner. This
right.
today's That sound always confuses me every time.
I'm
I
sorry.
always guess. Yeah, it's fine. I love it. Every time.
And you're still surprised.
I was just about 64 episodes in and this still surprised me. I love it. 64 today.
Yep.
This is
That's
episode
right.
64, people. That means we're one step closer to 100. And I think I'll make a promise now. Once we reach the 100th episode, we'll do something really special, like a big event or
Yes.
something. It's
That would be
out
cool.
there. Please remind us.
And
We'll
maybe
do it.
fix our sound. Maybe we should do that for our 100th episode. I think we're getting closer, though.
Yeah, I think we're
Thank
getting
you,
closer.
Leah. Thank you,
Yeah,
Leah and
thanks.
Steph.
Yeah, you're awesome.
And we're having to
Anyways,
record from home in the middle of the night again.
yeah,
We're just busy
like just
people.
for if people are like thinking, hey guys, why do you have so shitty sounds recording from home? Well, it's because we're recording at 9:30 in the evening because we had to tuck our kids in and we had to do our works. So we're doing this on a Saturday, people.
Yeah, this is
Keep
our
up the
lives
grind.
now.
Yeah. Anyways, that was 2 minutes
Anyway.
of rambling. We gotta talk here. So Jen, what are we talking about today? We're talking about metrics.
We
So this is
are.
actually what we were thinking to do here, peeps, is to have a two-part series where the first one we talk about the most necessary B2B metrics you need to know as a marketeer. We're not going to cover everything, and we're not going to cover what I call maybe the a little bit more sophisticated metrics sometimes, like the ones that go very, very deep. That's not necessarily the always the ones you want to go for. So here we cover the, in our opinion, the most necessary ones. And then in part two of this pod, we're going to talk a bit about how to report on these metrics, like reporting tools, how to visualize them, essentially how to make them actionable. So that's what we're talking about today. So on that note, do you want to kick us off with maybe the first metric, Jen?
Cool. And yeah, I think you kind of preempted it, but just to reiterate, this is in addition to conversion rates and things like that, but these are the metrics your CFO, if you have one, or your finance team are probably looking at. So it's probably a good idea to look at them as well. So that's one of the things I want to kind of highlight. So the first one I want to talk about is for me kind of the main one I would say is net new MRR. So net new monthly recurring revenue. You can also do ARR. As well, annual recurring revenue. But I like this metric, particularly for SaaS subscription-based businesses. I think this is a really important one, because it breaks down not only what you're getting from your new customers, but it's also breaking down what you're getting from expansion and what you're losing from churn. So you get a better, I think you get more insights into what's really going on in your business and where you can kind of plug gaps and pull levers to help increase revenue more than just getting new customers. How about yourself?
Yeah. I love that. And I think you actually said it just before in the prep phase for this one, because I was bringing up what's your opinion on the difference between just a closed one, like just looking at closed one MRR. And I think you said it pretty perfectly by like closed one MRR doesn't take into account stuff like churn and such, right? I think that's an enormously important fact, especially in SaaS, especially in SaaS. So I love that. I think that's good. And I think it's you have to be able to tie in marketing's contribution to that, right? Like
Exactly.
so that's like if you're not thinking about that, then that's kind of the bar on that one.
And this is probably what like I said, your CFO is looking at. So, you can look at sales effectiveness, but also looking at how customer churn is impacting your actual revenue. It's not always, sorry, salespeople, close your ears, put your fingers in your ears, whatever you need to do, but it's not always about winning new customers. It's also about expanding upon your current customer base and reducing churn. That's going to help drive growth through your business, right?
Yes, exactly. All right. The next one on our list is it's actually speaking of two like the next one is actually tied into all the next three. So that's a little bit funny. But if you already have an idea of what it is, then please hint at it. But if you're listening, so the first one is CAC, right? Customer acquisition cost. So essentially, how much does it cost for you to acquire a customer, right? And there's multiple, there's blended CAC and there's fully loaded and there's different variations of this. And I think my takeaway is always that you want to actually look at all of it. You want to look at the blended CAC, but from a marketing perspective, that's not always necessarily what you want to do, because sometimes it gets a little bit messy if you do like the fully loaded. So, So take whichever version works for you. That's actually what I'm trying to say. That's okay. That's a little bit different from case to case. But overall, you need to have a good understanding of your CAC, like customer acquisition costs, because that essentially dictates how much you can afford to pay for a customer from marketing's perspective. And it brings us to the next metric, which I'll let you present it then, Jen, because that even tells us even more how much we can afford to pay for a customer, which is what?
Just before we jump into the next one, I just wanted to say also when it comes to CAC, everyone calculates it differently, and you kind of mentioned the different types. But I think it's really interesting to think because sometimes it's all of marketing, all of sales, all the salaries. If you have a market research team, it's them, it's the marketing spend. So when you
And that's why I
think
call that
customer
fully
acquisition,
loaded, where
fully
you just like
loaded.
literally like fully everything. And it,
And one of the things that we do at Anamundo, which is something I was very, very keen on getting, is not making the entire marketing team calculated in the CAC because I have creative team, I have a videographer, I have an animations person, I have a social media person, and I don't necessarily think that that's reflective of what it costs to win a customer. So it's only actually our demand gen team who are calculated in the CAC for inbound. So when you're thinking of the CAC, just think about how it's calculated, and because then you can look at how you can reduce how much you're spending to win these customers. With that being
Exactly,
said,
because
sorry.
no, and no, but we did it the same way at Templify, where we also excluded certain salaries, right? And I think it's because there are certain salaries where it, if you put like it doesn't, they are a necessity to kind of do some of the things you do, like let's say design, right? And design can also to an extent impact CAC. But I think what I'm trying to say is that like you can't scale a designer like in the same way. It's not like you can get more designers, but it's not like so it doesn't show anything about the effectiveness of your CAC or how effective you are at getting a customer. If you remove a designer or not. So though and at the end of the day you want to see how effective your engine is, because like that's typically what investors are looking at is like, if I put $100 million dollars into this, how much am I going to get out of it? That's the question they're always asking. And the designer, the first designer is going to be a net negative technically, because if you count it in, your CAC is going to be way higher. But the next one is going to be way cheaper because you're already counting it in. And it has a huge impact on the overall, like how much it costs to get a customer. So there are things where it's like it gets a little bit blurry for me. So I so agree with not taking in all salaries. That's usually how I would do it as well. But
So that leads me to the next one, which is the LTV to CAC ratio. So, Casper, why don't you tell the good folks at home what that means? What is LTV and what is the ratio?
It's actually so we already explained CAC, customer acquisition cost, and LTV stands for lifetime value. So the lifetime value over CAC ratio is essentially how the ratio between your lifetime value, so how much a client is worth in total over its lifetime of existence with you, and versus or ratio between your customer acquisition cost. And it's just to say like if let's say you have a 1-to-1 LTV over CAC ratio. That's pretty bad, just to give an idea. Because that means that your overall entire the entire lifetime of your client, it is worth the same to you as you pay for it. So you always want to have a positive LTV over CAC ratio. Typically, when I work with VCs and when we work with other client like things like that, you want to at least what you're looking at is a 4-to-1. For everything above 4-to-1 is good. Everything above 7-to-1 is great. Everything beyond that is amazing. I remember just to, I don't think I'm giving anything away here, but at Templify initially we had a 12-to-1, 12-to-1, and then we scaled. And what typically happens when you scale is you start like when you initially you focus on like the high intenders, the ones that are ready to buy your solution stuff. It's all things considered. Once you crack it, it's easier in the beginning. I don't know if that makes sense. Once you crack the nut and like really find your ICP and nail down, then you can get some extremely efficient marketing. But then at some point, you have to expand your time, you have to expand your reach and demand, and then it becomes less efficient the stuff you're doing. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it. Like if you have an 8-to-1, which is what we had after a few years, then we had 8-to-1 LTV over CAC. That's still a great business case. But because like there's a point where you have to keep scaling. So my point is just like LTV or CAC is a really important ratio when you look at it, especially in classic SaaS companies. I don't know if you can share your LTV or CAC ratio at Anamondo, but like maybe at some of the previous companies, if you remember the Jen.
Yeah, I've usually hovered a little bit lower because I've always been in kind of hyperscale companies where they are dumping a lot of money into building the growth engine, right? So you spend a lot of money to make a lot of money, but usually we hover around the 4 to 1 mark. Yeah, but that's just because we spend money to make money too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. And I think 4 to 1 is what I call acceptable. I've talking to VCs, if you get below that, then you start, it starts to become dangerous. Like it's not worth necessarily always worth to do things, which is, problematic.
Yeah, exactly. But I
So
mean, it
four
makes
to
sense if
one.
you're trying to be profitable, right? At the end of the day, every business wants to make a profit, and if you're spending more money than you're earning, you are not profitable. So obviously, the more money you are making versus what you're spending, that's essentially what this is in the most common of terms. Are you
Yeah,
being
exactly.
profitable? Yeah,
And I
exactly.
think one of the important metric, like not a metrics, but one of the important, I think, discussions and understanding you need to have around LTV over CAC. I think that's what I tried to explain before as well. So let's say you have a 12 to 1 LTV over CAC ratio, just like I did at Templify at some point. They don't have that anymore, but they still have a pretty good one. So let's say you have that, and then you're spending, let's say, 100,000 a month to achieve that. Like that's what you're spending, just to keep it simple. That means every time you spend something, like let's say you pay 100,000, then you get 1.2 million back, right? Okay, you want to keep spending money, but do you then when you increase your spend, let's say you increase it to 1 million a month, then your LTV or CAC ratio drops down to 8 to 1, like I explained, right? Is that then shouldn't you do that? Because like technically your ratio is worse and you earn less for every dollar you put into marketing and so forth. You should still do that, and I think that's an extremely because that's like the that there's a tipping point, right? There's a glass ceiling also where like that's not really necessarily what you reach. But if you do that, you're still making a buttload of cash. You're just the ratio is just off. And from a VC perspective, this is still an amazing case and still has a lot of scalability to it. So I think what I'm trying to get to is that you gotta take a step back and say like, yes, it's good to invest 100 kroners and then make 1,200 kroners back. But you know what? What's even better is to invest 1 million and make 8 million back. That's a lot better,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. Yeah.
Or I'm just exaggerating here, right? I'd rather do that than have a better ratio and spend less. And I think that's an important take, and that's something you need to think about when you're scaling and when you're working with your CFO and especially if you're in a hyper growth company or something similar.
And the more people you hire, the higher your CAC, the lower your
Yeah.
CAC to LTV ratio until those people, especially when you think about like a sales team, right? Sales team famously take some time to get ramped up. They take some time to be onboarded, so your CAC is going to be higher because they're probably not as effective. But when they're up and running, then your CAC will kind of balance out and your LTV to CAC ratio will get back to something a little bit better. So
Exactly.
it's always in flux. It's just to keep an eye on it.
And I think one of the best like from a channel perspective to actually prove the point of this is also when you do paid search, Google Ads, because like, I always use this as a good example for people to understand is just to say, so let's imagine you like for let's use Templify as an example. You Templify, you do template management. Well, there's let's say there's 10 people who search for template management software. Well, your first 50,000 will get those 10 people, but your next 50,000 won't get them because like they're already taken. You already bought them. So the next 50,000 you spend is maybe template management. What is template management? Or that's a bad search, but let's say you did that, which is not as high conversion rate, like maybe not as high intent, right? So it still might be a good search and you will still convert at a maybe as an example 8 to 1 ratio, but it won't be the 12 to 1 ratio that you were initially had. But that doesn't make it bad, right? It
Exactly.
just makes it less good than the other one. But and when you come to scale, you still want to keep scaling and you just want to still want to get customers who are in that space. So I think paid search is just a good example of like how to look at that sometimes.
Cool.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that leads us to the next one, which is the CAC payback. And this
Yes.
is very, very closely related, right, to LTV CAC ratio. It's essentially how long till we make our money back,
Yes,
right? How
exactly.
long? Yeah. So say, for example, you have a customer that you spent $250 to get, and they're paying you $25 a month. It's going to take you 10 months to get that money back, and then you start making a profit. So from a marketing point of view, if you got that down to $100, could you get that customer at $100 and then they're paying you $25 a month? All of a sudden, you're making a profit after 4 months. So do you want to send three people to a conference in Berlin with flight and accommodation and food and tickets and everything else to close a small deal? Probably not. You might want to be able to try to close them with a newsletter or, a cheaper channel. So it's how do we, how, what channels, how do we optimize? How do we make sure we make that profit as early as possible?
Yeah, exactly. And CAC payback is just extremely important in SaaS, right? Like, because it also, I think one of the important takes about CAC payback is also, I think you alluded to it a little slightly. So it's just like in some, it's actually funny because like as a marketeer, just to be completely transparent here, this is not something I actually thought a lot about when I was doing marketing on both for United Fintech and for Templify and such. But actually, in terms of cash flow, also the faster CAC payback, that means the faster your money comes back into your system and the faster you can spend it again. And I think that, like, for a marketeer, sometimes what typically happens for us, and you probably know this, Jen, like, hey, you get a budget for every quarter or every year, right? Like, you don't actually think about it. If you had, like, instead of having a payback period of 12 months, you now have a 6 month. That means from the 1st of January to the sixth, to the halfway through the year, the money you actually made in the first month of January, you can actually get that money back to spend in your budget at the end of the year, technically, right? And
If your
that's
CAC
at
is
least.
payback is really good.
If your CAC payback is really good, I'm just
Yeah,
exaggerating here, but just to give an
of course.
example of saying like, this is really important because like it just allows you to spend the money faster. And if you have a good ratio coming back to your LTV or CAC, that's also like I'd rather have a really good CAC payback than an amazing LTV or CAC payback CAC ratio. Because like my CAC payback allows me to reinvest faster, to allows me to
Exactly.
grow faster. Like it is not as profitable as this other one, but it's way faster. And speed is typically of the essence in these in most of these cases, right? So yeah.
Absolutely. And I think a good ballpark is you aim for, well, obviously you aim as good as po as quickly as possible, right? If in 6 months would be awesome, but most SaaS companies is usually like 12 to 18 months, but I've worked in places where it's 40 months. It's, you wait a long
Jesus.
time to get that money back, but obviously the bigger the deal, probably the more expensive, the longer the CAC payback, but when it comes back, boy, does it ever, and then you start making that profit right away. But one thing that I think is interesting of all four of these that we talk about is there's one team, aside from the marketing team, who is going to really help this happen, and that's your CS team. Because when it comes to net new MRR, it's calculated by new customers plus expansion minus churn. Expansion and churn tend to sit with CS. When it comes to maybe not so much CAC, that is definitely a growth metric, but when it comes to LTV, if you have a short lifetime, if your customer leaves you before you get your money back, then your CAC payback ratio is, or your CAC payback is going to be shit, right? So if that customer, if it takes that customer 10 months to start making a profit and they leave after six, you've lost money. So I think looking at these kind of metrics, it also for me reinforces how important customer support is, good support. And I think that's one thing that maybe marketing teams might not be doing as much as maybe they should, is supporting the CS team in their retention and expansion efforts, because it is in everyone's interest to keep the customer there, to keep them growing, to keep them expanding, to keep them happy. Because those guys, the hole that will be plugged by sales, or the sales are not going to be able to plug every single hole. And sales are expensive. It's expensive to get new customers. Things to keep in mind is that expansion, MRR, so when your existing customer base expands, that is not calculated in CAC. So that doesn't contribute to your customer acquisition cost because they're already a customer. So if you can get a really good expansion play where your customers are growing every single month, that is really going to help your business grow. And I just think, I feel like it's something that as a marketer, I never really thought about until making a growth team that looks at customers. I was never really touching customers in other roles. It was not part of my remit. But it's
No.
hugely important to keep them and keep them happy and keep them growing.
Absolutely. I think it's something we actually we incorporated in our metrics a bit at Templify when I was there. The reason being is that we shifted our strategy when back when I was there to a land and expand strategy. So meaning, hey, we would land smaller deals and but then we would let them expand. But then as a marketing team, we were like, it's still gonna cost us, like it might be a slightly easier and was easier, but it might still gonna cost us a lot of money to land these clients. So if you just look at it at a surface level, it's gonna look like we're doing really shit. Like, because we might, I think we're gonna land more cut clients, as we said. Like, we're already, like, that was our hypothesis. Like, we're gonna land with easier modules and easier features. But at the end of the day, it's gonna look really bad because the MRR we land with is smaller. So we had to look at the longer upsell potential of these and expansion. And once we started looking at that, holy moly, like, then marketing was the best investment in the history of mankind.
We already knew it was, Casper. We already knew
No,
it
but
was.
it was so funny, right? Like, because it's just like, when you have a case like that where the product has so much potential to upsell, like when you can land a deal at 100K a year and then it's suddenly worth 10 million or whatever, right? Like, okay, that's insane. Like, let's do more of this, right? So yeah, I totally buy into it. But it is also something that's a little bit hard to track because, it takes time.
Absolutely. It takes time, but I just think so often CS gets overlooked and how important it is and how they can actually contribute to MRR. They tend to be looked at as a cost as opposed to an investment. And I just would love to be able to switch that narrative and let them take a little bit more credit for the expansion and reduction in churn and how that impacts revenue because it's super important. Otherwise, you're just going to be spending money to get new customers and we all know it's like 10 times more expensive to get a new customer than to keep one happy. So, shout out to my CS people.
No, do it. She's doing the hard. If you can't see it,
I
people.
did a.
Like,
Oh!
what? That worked on Zoom. That's awesome. Love it. There was a hard.
You saw that, right?
I saw that.
All
Yeah, that
right.
was cool.
Okay. I'm not having a fever dream.
No,
Anyway,
no, no.
did you have another metric for the kind folks at home?
Yes, I wanted to end on my favorite one. I brought this up several times before, so it's not really a new one to people who's listening to the pod here. But I like to always. I believe that you really need to look at marketing sourced weighted pipeline. So essentially, weighted pipeline, but marketing sourced since you're a marketeer. What that is just you look at your pipeline. You have a pipeline. There's a lot of different leads at different stages, and here you just say like, okay, weighted. That means like when it's at this stage, we are 50% to close it. This stage, 80%. This case, stage 20, whatever, whatever. Then you take a weighted amount of that, and then source by marketing, and then you look at the different stages and see like where how's your pipeline treating you, like how's it moving forward and such. Keeping track of pipeline in that way, that's for me, that's kind of like that's my one of my golden stars. Also because like LTV over CAC, don't get me wrong, we all that's a metric everybody wants to look at. That's one of the golden ones, but it also takes time, like, and pipeline takes time, but LTV over CAC takes even longer to get because you really need to close all the customers, then you need to figure out what your lifetime value is, and sometimes you don't even know, so it's a very good guesstimate, right? And then you don't even know your CAC. That's as you we talked about previously here. Like, it's just that's a big sophisticated calculation sometimes, a lot of factors in it. But your weighted pipeline never lies. Like, if you have a pretty good idea of your ratios might be wrong, but if you have a pretty good idea of how much you close in each stage, then your pipeline never lies. And that's always so that's always one of my go-to. And especially when you want to prove, because pipeline is like just looking at weighted pipeline. It's a really good way to prove if things are working or not. So like if like let's say you do a lot of demand generation, right? Like demand generation is the stuff you can't really it's hard to attribute sometimes, right? Because you can't like you're doing videos in platform in LinkedIn and so forth, right? How do you attribute the podcast or whatever, right? But those things get attributed once your pipeline grows from marketing. And then marketing, you look at a total source and like, okay, since we started doing this, the source pipeline for marketing has grown 50%. Okay, cool. We're doing something right here. Like, you can attribute to channels, all these things. Don't get me wrong. We're doing as much as we can, but your pipeline is growing and it's all the marketing side of it is growing. Good. Let's keep doing it. And I think that's kind of what that's one of my favorite things to look at.
Yeah, and I think your sales team appreciate that too. If you have an idea of what's coming, you're able to forecast, you're able to kind of better understand the impact you can have and what lever. Again, it's all about pulling the right levers, right? If you know what levers you can pull to get that pipeline moving, to get that those deals closing as quickly as possible, you're everyone's best friend.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nice one.
So those are the five metrics we wanted to drop to you guys today. I truly believe that as a B2B marketeer, you need to have at least you don't need to know all of them at all times. I can live with that, but at least you need to be aware that these are the ones you're striving to get to. I feel like that. Do you have any last remarks on this one? Some
Pester your
harsh.
CFO. Well, pester your finance team, get your hands on these metrics, because the sooner you can align yourselves with finance, the better position you're going to be in. And the sooner you know these numbers, then you know again what levers you can pull to champion growth. And if you're the ones pushing the growth, then you're the heroes.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. No, and I think I was one. I once read somewhere, I can't remember who said it, but at the end of the day, we're also just marketeers, right? Like we're good at doing marketing. Like at least we should be, right? Like we're good at doing marketing, and you should also be good at metrics. Don't get me wrong, but like I'm not a CFO. The CFO is better at metrics than I am, hopefully, right? Like, or the RevOps team is better at metrics than I am, hopefully, again, right? So it's okay to sometimes say, guys, I can't calculate our CAC. Like, there's too many factors. Please help me figure out what our CAC is, right? You shouldn't be the one probably doing that. Like, I don't think I've ever done CAC for a company myself. So just to put it in perspective, get help with these things.
I wouldn't suggest that marketing own these. These should be held centrally with a CFO finance team, but make sure this is what they're looking at, right? Like if you have investors, if you have a board, if you have a finance team, this is what they're looking at. They're not looking at your conversion rates. They're not looking at your
Don't give a
channels.
shit.
They don't give a shit about that. So this is what they're looking at. So start looking at what they're looking at, and then you can start speaking the same language.
Exactly.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Take care and good luck with your metrics. Bye.
See you. Bye. I'm going to stop this recording. Stop. Okay, I might have to.